Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
People of Earth, your planet has been destroyed. Вы чё это чё он спирачит? Ты шоу. А по часть того, чё он спирачит, Торец? Уэп я урос, Адам Тойд Броун.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Conspiracy the Show. I'm Adam Todd Brown.
And I'm Olivia Haidar.
And we are your hosts. We have a doozy of an episode for you this week.
Yeah.
We're talking about ivermectin. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
I think so.
But most people will recognize it more as the horse dewormer
right.
That people have been poisoning themselves with in an effort to battle COVID-19.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to preface this episode by saying we are in no way, shape, or form advocating for any medicine other than weed. I think we can both safely say.
Absolutely. I think the overarching moral of this episode is going to be don't take a drug that your doctor didn't prescribe to you. I think that's the big thing here is that it's, just don't do that.
It's going to be that, but it's also going to be how about we all just calm down
yes.
a little bit.
Yes, I think. And that is a good piece of advice outside of this context,
but especially within. This is one of those rare episodes where I guess my thinking here is everyone's kind of right. And also kind of wrong about what's happening, the yeah. reporting around ivermectin.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think necessarily everyone's kind of right, but there's a lot of people who are, overall.
I don't mean everyone. I mean, right. both sides actually yeah. have seemingly valid points in this.
For sure.
Argument, but it's not really being treated that way. I just think this is one of those stories where people on both sides need to just,
yeah.
I can't believe I just thought of this on the fly, hold their horses.
Oh!
A little bit. Have you heard about this? Because I know you said you haven't yeah. been tuned into the news
this
lately.
This is the thing. I have been barely able to keep up with any sort of news over the last couple of weeks. And I basically, when I have 5 minutes, I'm able to check Twitter and do whatever. And then that's it. So it does seem like this ivermectin story, just from the little bits and pieces I'm getting here, has kind of exploded. Over the last couple of weeks, it went from being kind of a nothing to being the big COVID story that everyone is talking about for this period of time. And I have been kind of out of the loop on it. I've had to do a lot of catch up.
Yeah, it's been a story at least for a few weeks, but we'll get into later on in the episode. It's actually a story that's been around pre-COVID.
Oh, for sure.
And it's one of those things that's getting tied to the idea of a COVID snake oil salesman.
Yes.
Which there have been lots and lots of those
yes.
since COVID started. It's a valid concern. It's a thing that we know has happened.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's an extension of the snake oil that the right wing has been peddling to each other for the past two decades, basically.
So when I first heard this story, I was like, oh, yeah, well, it's clearly just another example of that.
Right.
But when you dig into it, I don't think this is actually that. I think there's an element of that. I think there are people. There are clearly people getting very, very bad advice when it yes. comes to ivermectin and how to obtain it.
Yeah.
but I don't think that's the same thing as the doctors pushing it as a treatment for COVID being snake oil salesmen, because we're talking about two different products for right. all intents and purposes.
I mean, this might sound shocking to some of our listeners, but there might be a lot of nuance in this really complicated real world situation. I hate to say it, but it might be true.
Wow. Nice both sides-ism.
I know. Sorry. I don't mean to what about on this. I'm just speaking my truth.
What this reminds me a lot of is the program that effectively killed Jewel, or the campaign, I guess, is a better word for it, where there were all these deaths and hospitalizations as a result of a disease called popcorn lung.
Yeah.
And it was reported that the people who were suffering from this were vaping, and that's what caused it.
Right.
And every article you read had a big picture of Juul cartridges at the top and went into all this stuff about how Juul cartridges and cigarettes have the same chemicals in them. But then the products that were actually giving people this condition were bootleg hash oil cartridges. And it's like you're buying a science fiction version of weed from a guy. Like, of course, there are going to be some inherent risks in that. But they so successfully tied Juul pods to that scandal that it fucking killed Juul.
Yeah, I remember all this because, like, you know, I smoke a lot of weed, and anybody, at least anybody in California who smokes a lot of weed around that time knew to not buy shitty weed vape cartridges. Like, that was like just the word of mouth among weed smokers was just like, hey, just so you know, you don't want to be buying, unless it's like got a nice package and it's professionally made, you don't want to buy anything. Because like, I would go to like my dispensaries that I would go to living in LA, I would say were, you know, almost legal, you know, pretty much on the verge. And so you just kind of had to be a little careful, you know, and just make sure that what you're getting is straight, is good. But yeah, like, you would never associate it with Juul. That's just not the problem.
Yeah, it was two completely different things. And knowing that that happened makes me not completely unsympathetic with what I guess we'll call them the right is saying about ivermectin, which is that there is some possibly pharmaceutical industry influence behind the, I would call it demonization of this drug.
Yeah. The dragging, I guess, to use the internet parlance.
And
it's just like it's something that people, you know, in the way that online discourse tends to do, it has become the keyword that you can clown on. It's just the thing that you slot into a joke.
And I'm suspicious of that because to write this drug off as just something that is for horses is very misleading. Mm-hmm. And I think there's been a lot of misleading reporting around this. I feel like I'm going to have to say this every 10 minutes. I am not endorsing this drug. I'm not a doctor. I don't know if it works. I hope I never have to find out because I don't want to have COVID. Right. So, like, I'm not siding with anyone in this argument here.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not like the kinds of right-wing grifters who are latching on to this as a way to earn themselves money and infamy. Like, you know, absolutely not. Like, it's just that, again, this is a more nuanced situation than, you know, I said earlier, don't take medical advice or, you know, take drugs that aren't from your doctor. But also, you know, don't get your medical information from some comic that you follow on Twitter who's like dunking on something for easy points. Like, it's just, you know, this is easy. You gotta find out. Don't paint this entire drug with the same brush just because it's being used by some weirdos.
Right. And being used improperly by weirdos, which is a very important point.
Yeah.
And like, far be it from me to suggest that the pharmaceutical industry would gamble with human lives in the name of protecting their profits.
Of course. I mean,
they handled the opioid crisis so well.
Yeah, absolutely. It hasn't caused so much damage to so much of the country.
Yeah. So, but there are people who are suggesting that. And one of the things that they're claiming is that the talking points around this drug are, or I don't know if people are even claiming it, but when you look into it, the talking points around this drug are really sensationalized and leave out a lot of information that make this drug seem like something it's not.
Yeah.
So that's all I want to talk about. I'm not here to tell you to take drugs. I'm not going to tell you you're stupid if you actually consult a doctor and they give you a human dose of this drug. That's
exactly
a fucking, like, it's trial and error, baby. COVID is a new and exciting time.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, I might call you stupid if you take a pill from a box that has a horse on it.
If you take the horse version of this, you are an idiot.
Yeah, like, look, I'm not going to say I won't make fun of you for that, but, like, as far as taking the actual drug ivermectin seriously, I am for it. Like, I want to know, get to the bottom of, like, what is actually going on with this drug? What does it actually do?
Yeah.
Instead of just writing it off altogether.
And that's been the thing, is you're seeing a lot of people, their knee-jerk reaction to this story is, well, it doesn't work for COVID.
Right.
And it's like, no, there's no proof or evidence so far that it works for COVID, but there also isn't that much that says it doesn't. There's just not a lot of information, which makes the way they're portraying this drug suspicious to me, because if it comes to pass that there are some benefits for COVID to be had from taking this drug, most of America is still going to think of it as what, the horse drug? I'm not taking fucking horse drugs for COVID. And it's not really a horse drug.
No, I mean, yeah, of course. This is the thing. It's not like they change, like, the chemicals for, you know, every drug if it's going to be administered to a human or an animal. Like, obviously there are differences, but, like, usually it's dosage is the huge difference.
It's dosage and it's the non-active ingredients that they put in animal drugs. Those aren't, the FDA isn't evaluating how safe the non-active ingredient in a horse drug is if people take it.
Right.
Because people aren't supposed to take horse drugs.
Yeah.
And obviously the dosage is going to be different between a human and an animal that would destroy your car if it walked on it.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to take different doses to do the thing you want it to do. And it's just, it's, those are not dice you should roll under any circumstances.
Exactly.
Like, it reminds me of boric acid, which boric acid comes in a couple different versions. There is a supplement version that women can use to combat yeast infections.
Right.
There is also a version that kills roaches. And I have no doubt that the supplement version might kill a roach, but I'm also confident you shouldn't put the roach version in your body.
Yes, I think that's fair to say.
There's a reason they're marketed as two different things. And it's the same thing here.
Yeah.
Like, this, I mean, isn't an outbreak of doctors prescribing ivermectin and it's putting people in the hospital.
Right.
This is people taking horse drugs.
Right.
Which no one has told them to do. Or if they were told to do it, it was like a Facebook post. Like, at no point have the doctors who are pushing this been like, you know, if you can't afford it, just take the horse version.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Well, what's interesting, and this is actually making me think of something related, which is, like, you know, I'm a trans woman. I don't know if that's coming as a surprise to anyone listening to the show.
What?
It doesn't really come up a lot. We're talking about, like, a lot of really fucked up shit.
But, like, and half the room gets up and leaves. God
yeah.
Damn.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Adam. I just lost you.
I mean,
a
we have an agenda to push here. So
it is true. It is true. But, like, a thing that happens among trans women is if they are unable to get a a real prescription for hormone replacement therapy, so estradiol or spironolactone and those things, or they have other reasons why that is something that is hard for them to get a hold of, then out of desperation, they'll get like birth control or something like that that has a highly concentrated dose of hormones like progesterone inside of it, and that can have serious side effects, even if it might have some positive effects, but probably not, because that's not how the human body works. But like it can lead to a lot of things that weren't foreseen, because you're using this drug that, even though it's superficially and even chemically similar to the drug that you want or need to take, it's just designed for a different purpose. It's just made for something else, and it'll hurt you if you don't use it for that purpose. It's similar, like that's just what this is reminding me of a lot of.
That is exactly what it is. There are people who are hearing that this works for COVID, and either because prescription drugs are expensive and they can't afford it, or because their doctor is not of the mind that this works, which, here's the thing, that's your doctor's right. It's a doctor. Like, that's why second opinions are a thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want this drug, go to a fucking doctor that'll give it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
go to a bunch of them.
Again, you're rolling the fucking dice on your life, but
yeah.
I guess that's your right. And if your doctor doesn't want to give it to you, there are people who are, to get around that whole propaganda, are getting the animal version.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you have a lot better chances if you roll the dice on your own life with medicine made for humans rather than medicine made for animals. You'd probably better off trying to find some quack who will prescribe you whatever you want, even if it's, you know, not correct for you, than getting the animal version.
Right. Because at least that doctor has some liability if they do something to hurt you.
Yeah. And whereas, at least you're getting the one made for people.
Yeah. Whereas Chuck at the Farming Fleet will sell you all the fucking horse drugs you want.
Yeah.
Because he didn't tell you to take it.
Look, Chuck's getting paid minimum wage. He's just out there at the tractor supply store. You know, he's not there to give you medical advice.
Please, it is.
I'm begging you.
That is the problem right now, is people are taking animal drugs. But here's another reason why I don't tie this to COVID snake oil salesman.
Right.
This was happening before COVID.
Yeah. And this is interesting because I had not heard about this.
Because among the things ivermectin can treat is rosacea. And it treats rosacea in humans. There is a topical version of ivermectin for humans. Hmm. And back in 2019, there were all of these news reports about people with rosacea who couldn't get an ivermectin prescription. They were going out and getting the animal version and rubbing it on their skin. And guess what? Poison. They were poisoned.
No, thank you. Very bad.
And because COVID is so much more of a politically charged disease than rosacea.
Yeah.
It's just that the articles are way different this time.
Right.
And it's being treated like the snake oil salesman thing. And it's like, even though they're not once does it come up that the people who are doing this are actual Trump supporters. I think it's inferred because, for one thing, Fox News has been the one outlet pushing ivermectin the
most.
Right.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
So it kind of stands to reason. And I think that's why it's getting tied to this idea of COVID snake oil salesman.
Yeah, well, and I think it's interesting in that, you know, it is coming after a long year of a bunch of different stories like this, you know, maybe not in the details, but in the broad, you know, the headline strokes, the tweet strokes. But like, you know, I think the big difference between this and what's happening in 2019 is that there is this infrastructure of right-wing pundits in place who are pushing these, they're ready to jump on this shit and push it as quick as they can. Whereas it seems like what was happening in 2019 is like, you know, like a bunch of people just kind of heard about ivermectin And like, they're like, oh, well, that sounds like what's in this horse dewormer. I bet if I use that, then it'll have the same effect and I won't have to worry about. But like that to me, it's at least different in tone than
yes,
a bunch of people who are politically disinclined to agree with every approved treatment of COVID, searching around to find whatever is not approved that seems like it could actually work.
Right, right. And it's, I'll bring this up more at the end of the episode, but just on the off chance anyone thinks I'm being too kind to the right, I would say, wasn't COVID not real like a month ago?
This is what has been dry. Like, again, I've been very indisposed for the last couple of weeks. But every time I would hear a story about ivermectin, I would just be like, yeah, you guys were just talking about not wanting to get vaccines for like the last several months. And now you want to put this random drug in your body. Like this just doesn't really stand up to any sort of scrutiny.
And especially when you take into account that one of the arguments here is, well, this is big pharma trying to suppress a drug that would really help with COVID. People, Merck owns this drug.
Yeah.
That is big pharma.
Like, literally. Just,
again, calm down and wait to let them fucking test it. Yeah. Merck put a statement out on their website and they were like, we don't know. We don't. And here's part of the reason. It is kind of pharmaceutical company shenanigans. This drug is a drug that benefits up to this point almost exclusively poor people.
Yeah.
Like, it is a drug that was designed to eradicate diseases that mostly impact poor people, which means Merck has historically not made any money on this drug. They literally give it away for free.
Yeah.
So there probably hasn't been a lot of R&D
right
inside Merck when it comes to this drug. So if you're wondering why are they just now getting on it, it's because they don't give a fuck about poor people, except for the part where they give them life-saving medications.
But, right, of course, of course.
But it's just not, I don't think Merck has been that interested in this drug. And I guarantee if they find out it's some kind of cure-all for COVID, they're going to fucking let you know.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, you would have to nuke Merck to stop that from happening.
But also, like, and look, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm basically a
so
a
many revelations on this episode.
I know. I'm basically a functioning moron. I don't really have much going for me in intelligence. But like, COVID is a virus, and we're talking about. You know, it needs like a vaccine. It has to be treated. You have to build up your body's antibodies in order to kill it off. Like, I you can't really kill a virus with like a pill that you swallow, really. Not really, right?
Pretty no, sure. I mean, no, there are drugs that have antiviral properties that
right, well, it'll suppress a virus or whatever.
Right. And that is one of the points of contention here is that, well, this is an anti-parasite drug.
Exactly. That's the thing that I'm kind of sticking on.
But, well, I know I put a shit ton of links in here. And listen, if you're one of those, oh, I do my own research types, fucking buckle up when you read the show notes for this. There are, if you look at the way, like, let's go back to people using this for rosacea.
Right.
And why would people do that? If you look at the way this drug was marketed before COVID, it was pushed as a miracle drug. Yes, it's an anti-parasite drug, but for one, it basically eradicated the diseases it was intended to eradicate. And there's all these write-ups, we'll talk about them in a minute, where it's literally called a wonder drug, and it's described as maybe having all of these antiviral properties for other drugs. So of course people were going to hear that and be like, fuck, I'll put the horse version on me. What's it going to do, turn me into a horse? That's fine. Horses are powerful.
I enjoy it. That'd be great.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
So let's talk about the CDC advisory.
Yes.
I think there are some interesting things in the CDC advisory. And one of the things that always makes me suspicious is when scary numbers are only presented in percentages.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's something, a lot of the reason we're bringing this up is this is where a lot of the articles about ivermectin, this is what they're referencing, is this and the FDA statement, which we'll talk about, and that obnoxious FDA tweet, which we'll also get to. But in this case, you hear all these shocking statistics about how calls to U.S. poison control centers about ivermectin exposures have increased fivefold from pre-pandemic baseline levels.
Right.
And that's scary, but can I have the numbers? Did it go from like 1 to 5? Did it go from 5 to 25? Did it go from 1,000? Like, yeah. What does that mean in actual numbers? And no one really, that I did find like individual poison control centers that listed actual numbers. And they were like in the 30s and 40s a week, which is, it's not nothing.
Right. No, it's definitely a trend.
But even then, you need to know, because again, we're talking about a drug that does come in a human form that has been proven to be relatively safe to take.
It's safe and effective for the things that it's prescribed for.
Right. And then there's the animal drug that is not safe to take.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
So how many of these poison control calls are because of the animal kind? And then how many of those were the result of a doctor saying, hey, I think this might work. Take it in these doses that are appropriate for human consumption.
Right.
Because one of the numbers in the CDC advisory is that prescriptions for this drug have skyrocketed. One, they point to it happening in July, like they don't know why that is. I think it's probably because of the Delta variant.
Yeah.
Call me crazy. But they say at one point in August, it hit 88,000 prescriptions in 1 week for this drug. And that's a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
So what's going on with them?
Right. But also, and you know, going with what you were saying about how many of these percentages were from people taking the horse version, like just because a bunch of, you know, a lot of people got, you know, prescriptions for this drug, how is that working out for them? Like, is that doing anything? We don't know. Like, and you have to assume if those are prescriptions, that's separate from the horse drug poisoning. So like, what is happening here? I mean, you know, I would love to know.
Yeah. How many of those people were poisoned?
Right.
Because every article about this and the CDC advisory point to two cases. One, a guy who took a version that was intended for use with cattle, and a guy who got pills of, quote, an undetermined strength, end quote, from the internet and took 5 a day until he started hallucinating.
I mean, like, look, don't take pills that you don't know off the internet. Like, I don't know that even needs to be said, but I guess it does.
Life isn't a music festival. Don't just take the pills that people hand you.
Like, look.
At a music festival, it's fine.
Like, I remember when I was in high school, this kid brought to school a baggie that he found as he was walking to school that was full of these purple and black pills. And he was like, I think I'm going to take these. And I'm like, I don't think you should. We don't know what those are. And then he took them. And that kid, you know, he was kind of fucked up. and like, I don't know. He was not acting very normal for the rest of the day. I don't know what those pills were still. But like, that's just all I can think about when someone talks about getting a bunch of undisclosed pills off of the internet. It's like, you have no idea. You're going to end up sticking your hand in a bowl of hot water until it burns, just like that kid did.
Yeah. And one of the things you see when they're warning about this drug is, well, you can overdose on it. And it's like, you can overdose on Tylenol.
Jesus. Yeah. Like, you can overdose on fucking Tums.
That's not a unique trait. And they'll point to like, well, it can give you some tum-tums, can give you some tummy issues if you take it. And it's like, listen to any prescription drug commercial at the end. There are several that end with, and even death.
Yes.
But sometimes the risks don't outweigh the benefit.
And also a lot of times, you know, those risks are very low in the, right. But they have to list it because they have to cover their ass.
And yeah, so I don't think it's a right wing talking point to ask what happened to the people this was prescribed to.
Yeah.
Where are those crazy stories about them calling poison control centers?
That is not really a politically charged statement. Like, that is just the basics
of
what you
shouldn't be.
No.
It shouldn't be.
But like, that's the basic of what you should be asking of a government agency is, please give me the the facts of this situation as you understand them.
And like, I can't completely fault the CDC here because this is not approved for use with COVID. So they can't, they can't paint it in any way that makes it seem like it is.
Right.
Their job here is to scare people into not taking animal drugs.
Like, and you know, and again, as like we were saying at the beginning, just the whole thing here and what they're trying to say is don't take drugs. Like, consult your doctor before you take a new drug. Get a prescription, go through the right channels. You know, no one is saying that you absolutely, positively should never take ivermectin ever, or else you're a fucking crazy person. They're just saying, fucking talk to an expert. Talk to someone who knows bodies.
But I do feel like that once the CDC put this statement out, the media kind of ran with it as, look, people barely ever take this. Like, this is a drug for animals, so steer clear. And not quite. But before we get to that, let's talk about the FDA statement. Because a lot of the articles you read just say the FDA has not approved ivermectin for treatment of COVID. And they just leave it at that. But I guess the most well-known FDA response was they tweeted, "You are not a horse. You are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it." And listen, don't fucking seriously y'all me. You are the FDA and we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
Put on a goddamn suit and do your job. Quit trying to be charming on the fucking internet.
Put on a goddamn suit. Absolutely. Yeah, this is one of the blessings of being overwhelmingly busy and unable to look at Twitter has been that I missed that completely. I did not see that tweet and I did not know about it until you put it in these notes, and I hated it so much. I really despised reading it.
This is a whole mood. The animal version just hits different. Shut up.
I absolutely hate it when government officials use Twitter. I hate it so much.
The minute Obama started doing it, we should have been like, nope.
Nope, absolutely not. No, you're banned. Banned.
But we did not, because he was so nice.
No one should have a Twitter if you are paid by me, in my tax dollars.
Agreed. So the real FDA statement is a little more substantial, and it's kind of alarming to me. Like, not completely, but one of the points that really stood out under the when can taking ivermectin be unsafe heading. The first line is the FDA has not reviewed data to support use of ivermectin in COVID-19 patients to treat or to prevent COVID-19.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, why not?
Yeah. But also, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's kind of fair. Like, you know, it's not like ivermectin would be anyone's first, like, thought about this. And COVID-19 has been around since, I would say, I'm going to just go out of limit here and say late 2019, based on the name. And so, like, you know, I would guess it makes sense to me that they have not done that. But at the same time, that should be their statement, not this fucking seriously y'all tweet. Like, tweet We have not reviewed this data. We are currently investigating. We do not really have all the information. We're trying to find it out. Do not take a drug that is not prescribed to you by a doctor.
Right.
And that's it. That's all it is, guys. And I'm not even a professional.
Yeah. And another thing I found interesting that I feel like a lot of media reports about this are leaving out is that after that statement about not reviewing data, they did add some initial research is underway, which you might recognize as being a far cry from LOL horse drugs.
Yeah.
So that's where I feel like people on the left who are responding to this also, like, actually all sides taking that one statement.
Right.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. It's clearly not just a horse drug if trials and research are underway, which we'll get to. There's a lot of research underway.
I would say, and this applies to a lot of stuff on the internet, but if you had not heard of ivermectin before 2 weeks ago, I would say you are not allowed to be outraged by it until you find out a little bit more information. That's Agreed. All it is. Like, I get the knee jerk. Like, you see the usual right wing peddlers and grifters latching onto this as their way to get infamy and whatever. Like, I understand that knee jerk. I want to be as far away from those assholes as I possibly can. But you can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. You know, like, you gotta, you're supposed, like, you know, if you're on the left, or even if you're a liberal, I'll extend this to the centrist too. You're supposed to be the ones who think about things and take shit seriously and listen to the experts and fucking, like, appreciate nuance. Do that then.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
And in light of that, you would have to ask yourself, well, why is the FDA even considering this?
Exactly.
If it's just a horse drug, which is what it's being portrayed as. And it's because it's not a horse drug.
Right.
It is a widely used medicine that earned the people who developed it a Nobel Prize for Medicine in 2015.
Yeah.
It's produced from a microorganism that was discovered in 1973 by a researcher named Satoshi Omura. And that evolved into a veterinary drug that entered the market way back in 1981. But a few short years later, I think it was 1987, it was confirmed to be useful for treating some human conditions also. Right. So they synthesized it into a human version. Specifically, it was provided free of charge to poverty-stricken populations to treat a condition called onchocerciasis? That's mercifully nicknamed river blindness.
Whew. Yeah, let's just go with river blindness. I think you actually nailed it. That is a fucking toughie.
That is a tough word. And that's what Omura and his research partner, William Bell, who, by the way, represents Merck. He is the Merck half of the development of this. So again, if you think this is Big Pharma suppressing it, you're probably right. But it's also Big Pharma pushing it.
His name was William Bell? From Fringe, who was played by Leonard Nimoy. Sorry, I love the show Fringe, and there's like a major character played by Leonard Nimoy on that show whose name is William Bell, and he's a mad scientist who went to another dimension. It's a whole thing.
Probably is him. Who knows?
It might be. Hey,
this came from aliens. I would love it. And it didn't just treat river blindness. It damn near eradicated river blindness, which, again, like, that doesn't sound all that interesting to American listeners because we live in a developed nation with air conditioning and Nintendo Virtual Boys and all the fucking trappings of modern life.
Yeah.
River blindness is a tropics disease that almost exclusively impacts poor people. But before ivermectin, it was billions of poor people.
Right.
And I don't know, does that do anything for anyone in terms of how dangerous it is from a side effect standpoint?
Right.
Like, one of the things that bothers me about the way this is being reported is this notion that it's rarely used in humans. It is globally used in humans. And even when you look at the CDC statement about the number of prescriptions and how it skyrocketed, there were prescriptions for it before COVID.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't go from zero to a whole bunch. It was like 3,000 some a week before that. that's not, like, it's not aspirin, but that's not rare.
Well, no. Yeah, it's... I don't know, man. It's just, again, this is the whole thing about kind of getting into like the discourse, like the state of discourse in America is just it takes something that, you know, has a lot of nuance and it flattens it out and it makes it into good guys and bad guys. And it totally dismisses all of this history, which is not only useful in analyzing how good the drug could be today, but also interesting. And like, it's good to know this shit.
Yeah. Ivermectin on its own is just a fascinating story.
Yeah. Like,
everything about it is very interesting. And if you look at how it was pushed before COVID, I mentioned this a little earlier, but before it got tied to this, here's a headline from the Journal of Antibiotics in 2017. So well before COVID, This is a fucking medical journal, right? Which medical journal doesn't mean like all of medicine agrees right. with no. this. Like
it was peer reviewed and then it was published.
Yeah. And that's why there are trials for things.
Exactly.
You know, you try stuff and see if it works. And this is a headline from 2017. Enigmatic multifaceted wonder drug continues to surprise and exceed expectations. And this is another one from, I believe, 2011, from the beloved Proceedings of the Japan Academy, Series B, Physical and Biological Sciences. Save more than 11% on an annual subscription when you use code UNPOPS at checkout.
Damn, that's a good catch for a sponsor.
Yeah, it's a good deal, too.
Yeah.
It's a very expensive journal.
Yes.
Especially the part where you have to pay someone to translate it. Here is the headline from that article. Ivermectin, wonder drug from Japan, the human use perspective. Granted, that last one was co-written by Satoshi Omura,
yeah,
who is the developer of the drug. But again, he went on to win a Nobel Prize for what he was writing about. So
seems like a guy that you might be want to listen to, I'm going to say.
So it I feel like we're being a little too dismissive of this just because you can also treat horses with it. Why are we mad at horse drugs? Ketamine's a fucking horse drug.
Right.
Kidding
well,
me?
You know,
I mean, that's different.
It's special.
Though.
I would say ketamine. It's very special.
Horses probably love it too. Now let's talk about the, I think, quality rebuttal, which right. is that, well, this is a parasite drug. It's not an antiviral. Let's go back to that Journal of Antibiotics report. Right. Last sentence of the first paragraph. Today, ivermectin is continuing to surprise and excite scientists, offering more and more promise to help improve global public health by treating a diverse range of diseases with its unexpected potential as an antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-cancer agent being particularly extraordinary. And again, that is 2017. So that's not a snake oil salesman right. saying, hey, this could maybe help with viruses also.
Yeah.
And also, I'll link y'all to a report from the Journal of Controlled Release, which great fucking name.
Yeah.
For one thing.
That sounds like a good band.
It does.
Controlled Release.
Or Journal of Controlled Release.
Yeah, that too. That could be an album name.
Go all out. It's a medical journal dedicated to research on the controlled release and delivery of drugs.
Yeah.
It's not Breitbart. Here is a line from that report, which for the record is called Ivermectin, an award-winning drug with expected antiviral activity against COVID-19. Last line of the first paragraph under the commentary section. Beyond its invaluable therapeutic role in river blindness.
Of course.
And I forgot, there's two things it treats.
Strongly
oidiasis?
Oidiasis? Strongyloidiasis. Wow.
A more professional podcast network has someone on staff who confirms this kind of stuff because I know someone who does that job for a more professional podcast network.
Strongyloidiasis. I'm going to go with that. I think that sounds good.
I think you got it. Let me start over. Beyond its invaluable therapeutic role in river blindness and the other one, an increasing body of evidence points to the potential of ivermectin as an antiviral agent. And it goes on to list a few different viruses that it's shown promise in treating. And in some cases, it's just like in mice and shit that you hear.
Of course,
but it lists West Nile virus, yellow fever, Semleaky Forest virus, that one, we've all had that one.
Yeah, I mean, I always get a virus in some leaky forest.
It's written by a bunch of doctors. Most of them are from Brazil, but there is one American, you xenophobic fucks. His name's Roger M. LeBlanc from the Department of Chemistry at University of Miami. Not a ton of information about him online, and I think that's a good thing.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. It's tough to say. It can either be good in that he's a healthy human being who does not have an active online presence, or it could be bad in that he's like a fake person or something. I don't know.
What I didn't find is a bunch of articles about him claiming the election was stolen and that COVID is a hoax.
Hey, well then, you know, that's
what you're wondering. Yeah. And he is a real person. I found like his page at the University of Miami. And that's, I think, another important detail. The people pushing this are not COVID deniers. Like, there's no one here saying COVID is fake, but take our drug anyway, except Fox News.
Right. That's basically the thing. Yeah. They're just muddying up everything.
But the American doctor pushing this the hardest is a guy named Dr. Pierre Corey. And aside from, there's two things. He's the one pushing ivermectin the most, so that has tainted his reputation. He like spoke in front of the Senate and people didn't respond to it very well. Also, one of the doctors he's working with, a guy named Paul Malik, has this controversy from the past where he was trying to treat... God damn it. I forget what the condition was, but he was basically trying to treat it with vitamin C.
Okay.
And eventually another medical journal came out and was like, doesn't work. And he admitted it didn't work also. But does that mean he's completely discredited when it comes to medical stuff? Because again, that's what trials are for.
Yeah,
see if something works.
That's science. You just described a normal scientist reaction to that sort of thing is like, oh, well, I guess it isn't right. Then let's try something else. Like, that's how it is.
And both of these people are still employed in perfectly prominent positions in their field. Pierre Corey spent a lot of years in various roles at the University of Wisconsin and or UW Health, which is the University of Wisconsin's hospital, including working as medical director for the Trauma and Life Support Center. He won an award from the British Medical Association in 2015 for his work on a medical textbook. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he's pushing this via word of mouth. Like, he's written a bunch of stuff about this, which is why it bothers me so much when people are like, show me the evidence. It's like, he's got, I don't know if it's valid evidence, but go read it.
Yeah.
Like, it's... One of the things people criticize is that he's not doing like controlled clinical trials. And their argument is, well, this is working and this is a public health emergency. It would be kind of unethical of us to give people a placebo and know that they might die. And I don't know about that argument, but I do know that there is history of using stuff that's not completely FDA approved to fight COVID. The vaccine was not FDA approved.
No, totally.
Which is another reason it's so ironic Fox News types are pushing this, because what was their whole argument? Like, not their whole argument, but like there was the fringe who was like, it's a government plot to enslave us.
Right.
But then there was that more level-headed response, which is, well, it's not FDA approved yet, so why would I take it? Once it's FDA approved, I'll take it. Well, this isn't FDA approved for COVID.
And fucking horse pills for damn sure aren't, you know? Shit.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not in a position to judge if the huge document this guy put out about his research in this field is convincing enough to fucking take ivermectin. But I think it's... just another example of how this is not a horse drug. Like, there is way more to this story than just some fucking wackos taking animal pills. And do I even want to talk about this fucking Chris Saliza article?
I mean, I'm not going to lie, man. I did not read it, but fuck. I hate Chris Saliza so much.
Yeah, he's bad times.
He's one of the worst journalists working currently.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar, he's an opinion columnist for CNN, basically. And he wrote this article responding to Rand Paul's assertion that Trump hatred has kept the powers that be from honestly investigating the efficacy of ivermectin in treating COVID. And I think he's wrong too.
Yeah.
But first, my problem with Chris Saliz's take is that he, more than a lot of the other articles out there, goes really hard trying to make ivermectin seem like something humans almost never take.
Yeah.
He calls it a, quote, drug used in rare instances in humans. This is a drug, again, that billions of people have taken globally.
Right.
And I'm just suspicious when someone reports on something that fucking poorly. Is it just that he's bad at his job? Yes. Probably. But is he, like, this does have some elements to it that feel like a smear campaign.
Yeah.
And if anyone is capable of orchestrating a smear campaign in the media, especially from a financial standpoint, it's fucking pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm curious as to why the need to push this drug in these articles all across the media as something that's just for horses,
right,
and that only people only take it in extreme circumstances.
Yeah.
Like, there's no scientific evidence that proves it can treat COVID, but there's also no reason to act like the actual drug is some kind of unknown thing that, right, we're not familiar with because it's mostly used in animals. There's so much information about this drug out there.
Yeah, I mean, is it possible that it's all just a case of a bunch of people seeing who a lot of the main voices for this are and just writing it off without even bothering to do any work on it? I know that's how it is for anybody who's just tweeting about it, but, like, it feels like that's what the news outlets are doing too. They're not even putting the effort in to cover it in any sort of proper way.
Well, I think it is. And I think that does have a lot to do with it because, again, it's mostly like Fox News. I'm sure one American news network is pushing it too.
Right.
And that feels kind of the same, along the same lines as, like, tabloids in the 80s and 90s. Like, the National Enquirer was mostly bullshit.
Yeah.
But occasionally they would pick up on a story that no one else was covering and they would be right. Like, they basically solved the murder of Bill Cosby's son, Enes Cosby.
Yeah.
They are the ones that broke the story that solved that case. Their coverage of the OJ trial was fucking impeccable.
Yeah.
Sometimes the outlet you don't like gets it right. Like, the Wall Street Journal is a pretty conservative outlet, but also a respected force in journalism.
Yeah.
Like, it happens. And I'm not saying Fox News is that, but
I mean, you know,
I'm just saying they're not completely wrong in saying this is something people should look into. If they're on there saying take, like, the horse version, that's obviously very wrong.
Like, honestly, I think we can very easily just cleanly separate, like, our take on this whole thing from what Fox is trying to do, where Fox is just very credulously being like, no, everyone's blowing this weather reports. This drug's totally fine. This is all, you know, this is all above board and whatever. And we're just like, no, like, this thing, you gotta look into this. There's, like, a lot of stuff going on here that you just can't easily write off.
Right. And on the flip side of that, for people, I guess, on the left to have written this off, there are a lot of preliminary trials underway for this drug as it relates to COVID. The CDC advisory statement even links to a website called clinicaltrials.gov.
Yeah.
Where you can search and see what trials are happening right now. If you run the words ivermectin and COVID through their search engine, you get, still scrolling, 75 studies. And so just give it time. Like, people are looking into this. There's no reason to act like this drug is some kind of huge problem when it's not. People taking animal drugs is a huge problem.
Right.
But it was happening before COVID.
Yeah. We can't act like this drug is a huge problem. We can't just blindly believe that it is the miracle cure that's going to save us all from a virus that we don't even believe is real. Like, you know, there's a middle ground here. And you know, I'm no centrist, but, like, Jesus, like, you know, like, this is, it's very easy to not immediately leap to the most extreme conclusion in this case, which is, I really think that a lot of this is just a full symptom of our already rapid discourse machine just being pumped into overdrive like five times over through the last year. Like, everybody spends even more time on their phones and online and on their computers, and it's accelerated our discourse to a level where we're not even waiting until we get all the information in before everything. We're just jumping on it. We have made a moral proclamation about everything having to do with this subject, and if anything disagrees with that, well, then that's a fucking lie, or that's being pushed by scammers or whatever. It's just, everybody needs to take a big breath, take a deep breath, and chill out. And like,
yeah,
examine things.
And if you're questioning, well, okay, but who's researching it? Is it like a bunch of like fucking right wing startups? There's one study that is being conducted jointly by the University of Minnesota, UCLA, and Northwestern.
Yeah.
And that one's also testing a diabetes drug as a possible treatment. That's how it fucking works.
Yeah.
Sometimes drugs work for other things than what they were intended for.
You know, people, I feel like people really want to figure this COVID thing out. They want to get to the bottom of this. No one's happy with COVID.
Crazy. Crazy. there's a Duke University trial. There's a private company called Progena Biome, which deals with like gut microbes. They're doing clinical trials. I'll link to it. There's a whole searchable database. And yes, a lot of the trials are happening in other countries, but that's kind of how the United States works. Like, we're not as adventurous when it comes to science.
Well, believe it or not, other countries are also trying to figure out how to deal with COVID. So shit.
Right. And a lot of them are doing it without the profit motive hanging over their pharmaceutical industry.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're living in a country where they don't have to pay a $32,000 medical bill for being in a hospital for 4 days. Not that I'm speaking from personal experience.
Right. That is a uniquely American thing.
Yes.
That is pharmaceutical companies are why we have Obamacare.
Yeah.
Because Obama went to them and was like, hey, that loophole that allows you to charge like $15,000 a pill for stuff, I'll leave that open if you help me pass Obamacare.
Yeah.
And they got very much on board with that. And that's why Obamacare didn't do anything for prescription drug prices.
Yeah. And that's why it sucks.
Yeah. The pharmaceutical industry has a lot of power. So the fact that this isn't being tested as widely in the United States as it is in other countries, I don't think should really put you off that much. And it is being tested. At least preliminary trials are underway. And here's the thing. This website is, I believe, for people who want to fucking get in on them. So if you're in the Duke University area, I don't know, if you got COVID, go hit the home of the Blue Devils, see if Mike Krzyzewski can get you in.
I mean, I don't know, man. This is rough. This whole thing is just so rough.
And again, like, just to bring it full circle, people on the right believe science now, like... Like, you can also get the fuck out of here.
I mean, and honestly.
And the one thing that really does blow up their argument for me that, oh, this is Big Pharma trying to suppress this.
Yeah.
Again, this drug is owned by Big Pharma.
Yeah.
There is a reason Merck has a statement about it on their website and no other pharmaceutical companies do.
Yeah.
It's because Merck owns this shit. And if they can find a way to make money from it, they will.
Absolutely.
Just fucking give it time. Like, you will suckle at the teat of Big Pharma eventually, just like the rest of us. Just be patient, baby.
And maybe while you're being patient, like, go get vaccinated or something, you know? Like,
it's FDA approved.
You know, if you're thinking about taking a drug designed for horses, then maybe you should try taking a little shot or two that's designed for people. You know,
designed for people to not get COVID.
Yeah, like,
look, it's not like ivermectin stops horses from getting COVID.
Yeah, like, I got my vaccination and I only kind of am fucked up, and it's mostly for other reasons. So I think it's fine.
What if it's like Sorry to Bother You and everyone who took the prescription version is a literal horse now?
Right. No, maybe. That might be true. That would be amazing to find out.
That sometimes they put real stuff in movies.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, look, and that movie had some real stuff in it.
It really
just didn't know if that would be the part of it.
So, yeah, I think that's our episode. I think
sure.
Again, the message of this episode is just everyone chill out.
Chill out. Talk to your doctor. Don't take a drug that wasn't prescribed to you unless it's weed or like.
Sisters, brothers, cool out. Who's fighting and what for? It's a Gimme Shelter reference. Very good documentary about the Rolling Stones Ultimate concert.
That's a Scorsese doc, right? Isn't that the Scorsese
one? No, I think he did another one.
Yeah. Gimme Shelter is the old one. That one rules.
Yeah, yeah. You see someone get murdered.
Yeah. There's some fucking crazy shit that happens in that documentary.
Yeah, my favorite moment in that documentary is The Grateful Dead, which I never say that.
Yes.
I don't like The Grateful Dead that much.
Aw, boo.
But they arrive by helicopter and they land and someone comes up to Jerry Garcia and is like, someone in the audience punched the lead singer of Jefferson Airplane in the face. And Jerry Garcia goes, let's go. And they get right back in the fucking helicopter and get out of there. Like, he doesn't even entertain the idea of going on stage. Good call.
Yeah, that's also got a bunch of fucking great Altamont shit in it. Like that whole Altamont thing is so fucking crazy. The free concert. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they put it on a hill.
Yeah, on a hill, and so, they like just put a bunch of Hell's Angels bikers around it. Like, this'll make it safe.
Yeah, Hell's Angels are historically pretty cool. Meanwhile, there's a scene where one of them looks like he wants to eat Mick Jagger.
Yes.
Like, he has to be pulled away from Mick Jagger while he's protecting him. Anyway, so I think the other point of this episode is check out Gimme Shelter.
Yeah, you should absolutely watch it. It's one of the wildest rock documentaries ever made.
It's a classic. Do we have anything to plug before we get out of here? By the time this goes up, there will be a level on the Patreon and Supercast where you can subscribe to Pretty Scary and Conspiracy, the show, as one thing. I guess I did not realize that subscribing to do two different things at one time is way too much for the subscription podcast system as it stands now. Hopefully the technology will advance to the point that we can do that someday.
Absolutely.
And that's all I got. What do you got to plug?
You can find me on Twitter at HiThereHidar sometimes. Not a lot right now, but, you know, I'll pop in. That's about it for me. I got other shit to deal with.
Same. Let's get out of here. Olivia, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.